Don Seculo, is it too little too late as Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman from Minnesota, tries to clarify a comment equating the United States and Israel militaries with the actions of the terrorist groups Hamas and the Taliban? We'll talk about that more today on Seculo.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We're going to be taking your calls at this too at 1-800-684-3110. Rick Rennell will be joining us to talk about it. Earlier in the week, Ilhan Omar, again, the congressman from Minnesota, who is known for making controversial statements, which would be one thing, again, if she was an activist leader, but as an elected member of the United States Congress who sits on the Foreign Affairs Committee, so a role that is chosen by Democrat Party leadership. They don't have, you know, you can get elected. That does not earn you a right to be on committees. You can be taken off all committees. So you don't get to, you can put your preferences in. And I think time and time again, she has shown she's unfit to serve on the Foreign Affairs Committee in the House of Representatives. And if she wasn't on the, if she was just one of the elected members of Congress, you know, one of 435 who didn't have that access to the classified information you receive here on the Foreign Affairs Committee and the power that comes with being on the Foreign Affairs Committee in the House, you know, again, would not deserve as much attention because she might have a constituency that supports her views, as radical as they may be, but she's not getting special access to help her criticize the United States. But it's not just rhetoric. At this point, when she put out the tweet and then with the video, and she's in a questioning the Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, about the International Criminal Court, which, by the way, she never put her own tweet. So what she's saying is taken out of context, wasn't in her tweet that she put along with the video. She said this: "We must have the same level of accountability and justice for all victims of crimes against humanity. We've seen unthinkable atrocities committed by the U.S., Hamas, Israel, Afghanistan, and the Taliban." And then she says, "I asked Secretary Blinken where people are supposed to go for justice." Again, you could take who said that, ignore the fact she's a Muslim, ignore the fact any of her origins, that she's a woman. Just read the words. The words are equating the United States military with the Taliban and Hamas, and the Israeli military with the Taliban and Hamas. And if you look also, even to be fair and honest, the U.S. military versus the Israeli military, Israel is the size of a smaller state to a medium-sized state in the United States. Those are not even comparable, but to put them all, lump them together, to say, well, and to try and get away with saying, "Sam, I'm criticizing everyone." Of course, the dangers here is that she's not just making a politically damaging statement for Democrats. I will, you know, give them some credit for all uniting and leadership coming out and forcing basically her to clarify her remarks. But she used that, of course, as another political attack, and they don't remove her from the committee. And her group, that squad, whatever you want to call that, that far left caucus inside the Democrat Party, they know. And if you actually read their press release, they know it's much more important that she's on that committee than just a member of Congress. So when they put out their press release condemning the House Democrat leadership, this is of infighting between, the first thing mentioned is her seat on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, not her membership in the Democrat caucus in the House of Representatives. So they know they have an insider who gets inside information, and there is a goal here. It's like supporting the BDS movement. You're not just a kid on the street spouting off what you heard your college professor say. It's linked to an organized movement. She's also linking to the move, which, by the way, not all Democrats would necessarily oppose joining the International Criminal Court. They just know that you can't get there with this kind of anti-Semitic, anti-American rhetoric. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So this is something that's been, it's been happening since the beginning of the week, and we wanted to see kind of how this was developing, because obviously the House of Representatives in the makeup right now, and if you want to talk about this too, get in on the conversation at 1-800-684-3110. They have been down this road with her before. We're talking about Congresswoman Ilhan Omar back in the news again because of what she said. So again, most people, most of the time, it's not necessary to spend a lot of time on you know, rhetoric, where they're coming from. But there are these realization moments when you realize, wait, they're not just members of the Democrat Party, and you could say, okay, but they're an offshoot, they're this far left part of it, and they're not really the mainstream. But then you realize that the Democrat Party empowers them with these seats on powerful committees, and time again comes out with condemnations of their statements and basically forced clarifications. And her clarification was, I just want the U.S. to be subject to ICC jurisdiction, which we've done a lot of work at the ICC. You don't want anyone to be subject to ICC jurisdiction, especially our U.S. military. It is an institution that has not been able to get off the ground after decades of massive amounts of funding from the world. It has not been able, even in the countries that have signed on to the Rome Statute and have agreed to this jurisdiction, has not been successful. I think it was a much more, again, successful process if you want to look at international tribunals, that when you have cases of war crimes going back to World War II and beyond, it's better to set up temporary tribunals that are focused on that situation. That's the birth of the ICC came out of a lot of what was going on in Yugoslavia and the former Yugoslavia and these atrocities. And there was a special court set up to deal with those atrocities. And they said, why don't we do this for the whole world instead of taking the time to set it up to make sure you have the right people independently who can go in and hold people who are actually should be being held accountable at the top. And that was, it just has become a disaster ever since. But it's also a backdoor way to equate the United States military, again, as she did, with actions of the Taliban and Hamas, and then trying to put Israel, lumping in Israel. And Israel is, by the way, is constantly under attack, constantly having to engage in conflict on a scale, again, with a population around 7 million. This is very different than our military, than how our military operates as well. But I want to go to Than Bennett in Washington, because Than, the question on everyone's mind is how long does a Pelosi-type leadership and this House leadership, which was fairly quick to condemn this, but still obviously afraid of removing her from this committee assignment, which, by the way, Republicans have a long history of those who have made and controversial statements, and it's not like an accident, it's not a one-off, but they've kind of have historically, after a few statements, they take that action to correct themselves internally. And this is an opportunity, I think, for Democrats to show that they're not as far outside the mainstream of the country. But do you think that they will actually take that step?
Well, first of all, you're correct, Jordan. There is a long history on the Republican side of it. Some of them are recent examples, and some of them date back many Congresses ago. By the way, both committee assignments and places of prominence inside the caucus. So I think there's definitely a double standard here. Look, that's where I think I would start with this. If this were the first offense, so to speak, from Congresswoman Omar, I would tell you that probably there's going to be quite a bit of leeway, quite a bit of patience. But, Jordan, this has become standard operating procedure for her. I mean, look, at this point, I think it's safe to say that she is failing the most basic test that every member of Congress should have, and that should be that America should be the top priority. Clearly, America is not the top priority. And Jordan, I think the most important policy point is probably the one you just made. Even if she had been more articulate in these comments, clearly she thinks the U.S. should be subject to the jurisdiction of the ICC. That in and of itself is problematic enough. But here's what I would tell you, Jordan, just from kind of the inside baseball with Congress. Yes, it's true. Voters send members of Congress to Washington, D.C., and when you have a Congress that is this closely divided, neither party is likely to expel a member of Congress altogether. But Jordan, they haven't even taken the first step, the step that is readily available to them. This statement that you read from Democrat leadership, yeah, I mean, it's good, I guess, Jordan, but it rings very hollow to me when they are the ones with the mechanism in their hand, the lever in their hand to actually make her pay a price for this. They could take her off that seat on the House Foreign Affairs Committee immediately. And Jordan, they could do one of two things. I mean, I think probably most appropriate, they could put her on no committees. But you know what? At a bare minimum, she should be on committees that don't have jurisdiction, don't have oversight over this very issue. So if Nancy Pelosi is serious that she shouldn't be drawing these moral equivalencies, don't put her on the committee that provides oversight over that issue.
I mean, listen, you go back to 2019, the tweet, which we spent time on this broadcast, the All About the Benjamins tweet. I mean, using just known anti-Semitism to fuel this, the Israel and dual loyalties, she brought up this idea. And she was quickly condemned, but retains that seat. And then I go to that statement from her, the Progressive Caucus, which is part of this squad world. And their first thing they said, you know, they put out in her defense is her voice is critical and necessary, both in the House Foreign Affairs Committee and the House Democrat Caucus. Like you said, it's not so much the House Democrat Caucus. You look at raw politics of that, and that's one thing. And again, voters get to decide. They ran in this political party. Okay. But there is, when you elect that official, they know too, this is the target, the House Foreign Affairs Committee seat. And they will try to make this an issue of race, religion, gender. She's already done that. Her supporters have already done that. And I just say, read the words. Doesn't matter whose gender that is, whose religion that is, it's anti-American, on top of her anti-Semitism in the past. And this idea, again, she talks about, well, what about my freedom of speech? No one's saying she can't say this, but there are consequences for what you say and do in a country that has freedom of speech, and you can take actions because of what people say. It doesn't mean, again, she's not losing her seat in Congress. That's up to the voters. It just seems to me, if they're worried about these kind of individuals, because you've got AOC coming to their defense and big fundraising and grassroots ability and worry about primaries and situations like that, these responses, again, she's not really apologizing in these statements. And this back and forth that she had with Anthony Blinken, she's cutting him off. It's very long, and we'll play some of it for people so they know. But she decided to put that tweet along with the video. She decided to use those words and to put it in that order, and specifically in the order of having, with the U.S., and then she puts in Hamas, then puts back Israel, then puts back Afghanistan, and then the Taliban separately, and then, of course, tying it to the ICC. But to me, that level of more sophistication in the long-term game, the long-term strategy, is moving the party, a Democrat party, which has been more open to the idea of the International Criminal Court. Her rhetoric pushing that back, which might be another reason that they jump on it so quickly. But if Nancy Pelosi today were to say, you know what, enough with this, we're not going to no longer empower her to have the ability to question secretaries of state from either party. She's not going to go because she's abused that right to spread anti-Semitism, to spread racism, to spread violence and support for terrorist groups. That would be something to commend. And I think you're right, Dan, that this it was like when they had to pass a resolution condemning anti-Semitism in the United States in 2019 because of her statement on All About the Benjamins. The list goes on and on and on, but yet they continue to make these strategic statements. Like I said, this was not an accidental statement. It was not just her words from a question. She put out the tweet that way.
Here's the truth, Jordan. If this was a member of the Republican Party, or quite frankly, if this was a member, almost any other member of the Democrat Party, he or she would already be off the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Congressman Omar, Jordan, she is benefiting actually from a whole lot more leeway than another member of Congress would get. And it's because Speaker Pelosi and the other leadership want to have it both ways. They don't want to alienate the so-called progressives, which I can't imagine, or I can't even believe we're talking about anti-Semitism and anti-American views being progressive, but I think that's just the reality of where we're at. If it were another member of Congress, they would have already lost the seat on the committee. And Jordan, you mentioned AOC's response. I just want to read a couple lines from it. She said, "I'm pretty sick and tired of the constant vilification, intentional mischaracterization, and public targeting of Ilhan Omar coming from our caucus. They have no concept for the danger they put her in by skipping private conversations and leaping to fueling targeted news cycles around her." Jordan, they're putting Congressman Omar in danger. How about the danger that a U.S. service member is in by being subject to the jurisdiction of the ICC? How about the danger that a U.S. service member is in by telling the rest of the world that the United States is equivalent to the Taliban? That is the danger that AOC and Speaker Pelosi and the rest of the Democrat caucus should be worried about. Not so much the danger that Ilhan Omar is in over what? The words that she intentionally put out into the world.
Yeah, I mean, this is the idea. Again, we've been actively involved in this at the ICC. The U.S. doesn't go. We went and represented the U.S. position, and that's the case she's referencing. The case she's referencing is a case that we worked on at the ICC that we've shown you before. This was right before COVID and right before the first impeachment trial. So again, we're going to take your phone calls. Rick Rennell is going to be joining us next segment again to talk about this and Biden overseas.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Seculo, Rick Rednell, our senior counsel, joining us as well, senior counsel for foreign affairs, national security. And Rick, I want to say we kind of let this develop, see how the Democrats were going to take action as well. But I want to start off with this line of questioning, because this idea from Ilhan Omar, it's not just rhetoric. She tied it to a much longer game plan, which is the International Criminal Court. And I think to just take her words as extremist rhetoric, which it is and should be condemned, but then forget what the longer-term play, which is not so necessarily out of line with some in the Democratic Party and some and many on the left, which is ultimately to have the U.S. Join the ICC. So we see the condemnation coming out from the entire, you know, House Democrat leadership, but she still sits, Rick, on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. No Republican would ever be still sitting on that committee making any statements that would be considered racist, sexist, homophobic. The list goes on and on. And the Republican Party takes quick action, not to take away from the voters. They get to choose who they want to send to Congress, but that vote does not include getting to pick what committees they sit on.
Yeah, and let's remember, this is not her first time, right? She's had multiple chances now of really, messing up here. We keep tripping over ourselves in the national media to give her yet another chance or another explanation. Remember, in talking about 9/11, she said some people did something, really minimizing 9/11. She's compared the United States to Hezbollah, Hamas, the Taliban now. It's a growing problem in the way she views America. She clearly doesn't like America. Being a leader, she wants us to be one of many. And so therefore, she jumps at the chance to highlight any problem as being a systematic problem. And that's where I really have the hardest time with her worldview, is that she doesn't think that America is exceptional. She doesn't think that we are the greatest. And look, it's fine for her to critique American policy, Israeli policy. We are all for it. This is a free country, and yep, she gets to do that. But I think that it's really dangerous, and that she should be called out consistently when she's trying to blame America first for the world's problems. She's lost her perspective.
Yeah, I read the statement, and part of the reason I've been reading the statement more than even playing the long-winded audio, because that she put along with this statement and then her clarifications to take out, it doesn't, you know, what because what she immediately went to is, oh, it's because I'm a Muslim, it's because I'm a woman, this list going on and on. And it's not, it's because of the words. It could be uttered by anyone, but I think more so possibly that, you know, her life experience would inform her that these groups are not necessarily ones that you want to be living under control of, or society. Certainly her parents made that decision. That's why America exists, is for actual people who need refuge to be able to seek that refuge. The family did that. But the idea, she's sitting on those committees, she's getting briefings that other members of Congress aren't on our foreign policy, and it's tied to a bigger policy fight. Do you think if they don't move to actually say, okay, you know, we're not going to let you be on this committee, and that's the strongest kind of action they can really take. They're empowering the rest of that group, but also this is kind of like the farthest of far left thinking, Rick, from the academic world, and it's starting to play out now in reality in Congress.
Well, let's talk about a little bit of the good news. She's been able to unite Republicans and Democrats, sadly, against her. And now we have Democrats condemning her actions. Now, it's taken way too long. Let's be very honest about that. But it's also good news is that they're feeling empowered. They're feeling like they have to condemn her. They're you know, obviously walking on thin ice, and they're very careful in how they're condemning her. But make no mistake, Jordan, this is a very big deal when the leadership of the Democratic Party is calling out her words. And she, of course, did what every progressive does. And I was glad to see that Nancy Pelosi and the leadership got a little taste of what they usually throw around, is, you know, immediately she says, oh, you're sexist or you're Islamophobic. And as you point out, it has nothing to do with her gender or her religion. It has everything to do with her equating morally the Taliban, Hamas, Hezbollah with the United States of America, which really honestly angers me, because somebody in her position should know. Maybe we got to put it into a better perspective for her. Let's see what the Palestinian position is on climate change and gay rights. And just, you know, those two progressive issues, let's match Palestinian authority with Israel or America. She will see a dramatic difference. And so I think that this is the beginning of a problem for her in Congress. The leadership has called her out. She's probably not going to have much power for a little while, at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a good thing, and it'd be a good thing for the country, looking past the partisan politics, especially on these kind of committees that wield this influence. I want to go to, Rick, that the we're seeing President Biden's first foreign trip. We're not getting the press conferences. We're not getting a lot of question back and forth. So, again, there's some speeches, a bit of criticism, you know, the Joint Chiefs saying that climate change was the number one issue. But past that, and the fact that they won't let us to the questions, there was already talk just in the U.K. alone of the fact there's been no the ambassadors, all these that they're just sitting empty. As a former ambassador to Germany, you know, he's making this first foreign trip. He wants to, you know, re-engage the world. They talk about these big issues as if we weren't engaged in the world, but they're not putting the ambassadors forward. Those again, do you see any explanation for why? I mean, this doesn't seem to be in line with them. Usually, you know, the more you can add on, the better, and move it through Congress. But it's not. They're not even. I think in the UK, they report they weren't even floating names yet.
Yeah, look, President Biden is visiting multiple countries, and every place he's going, Switzerland, the UK, NATO, Belgium, we don't have an American representative. We don't even have an American nominated. There's not even names out there. And now we've got the announcement that Chancellor Merkel is coming to the United States. Again, he's met with the South Korean president. We don't have a South Korean ambassador. Germany coming. We don't have a German ambassador. We don't have a Japanese ambassador. And he's met with the Japanese. Look, this is a real problem. In the Trump administration, we had David Friedman announced, confirmed, and in Jerusalem by May 15th. So for all of the criticism that the media in D.C. made of the Trump diplomacy team, the Trump team is doing way better than Joe Biden. And yet Joe Biden is getting away with saying diplomacy is back, is what Secretary Blinken is saying. This is a very big problem. And of course, there's a double standard in Washington when focusing on it.
Yeah. Well, Rick, as always, thank you for your insight, because these are issues again, too. And that's why we take the time to get into them on the show, see how things develop, and then have the discussion and give you the analysis. Because to look at, okay, these, you could just say, well, why won't they have these ambassadors? But the problems that actually causes and the issues that actually causes, we see play out in real time. And these kind of mess of these foreign trips. So you had the vice president's trip, total disaster. And then the president. And you hope as American that these are going to be successful, that they're going to be, that they could project a good image of the United States, at least abroad. Then we can have our domestic fights here. I mean, but that is not happening right now. We're not seeing that. We're going to take your calls and comments on it when we come back at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.